Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from everyday office etiquette, bullying, to handling pet peeves. Also, we remind you to initiate acts of kindness. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here is your host, communication and socialization expert, speaker, and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady. Today is October 9th, 2016, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely city of Atlanta. This evening, we will conclude our back-to-school series with two very special guests, Brian Joshua Chapman and Dr. Tom Keating. So please stay tuned. Well, once again, welcome to our new listeners and loyal listeners alike. Thank you so much for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. We are so delighted that you are spending part of your Sunday evening with us. We're so blessed to have listeners of all ages, and we always want to take a brief moment just to talk about the origin of etiquette, especially for the benefit of the new listeners. Etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, isn't that what we all want? I know it is certainly what I want. That's one of the main reasons of doing this show. Well, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And just in case you don't necessarily remember the backstory, just simply remember that etiquette is a fancy word for manners. And I always like to send kudos out to Charles the First and Second. Well, once again, we are concluding our back-to-school etiquette series. If you've been following the show, then you do know that each and every episode that we have for our back-to-school series, we talk about how to have a successful school year. And we generally will have educators on who just give tips about how to make it a successful year. We talked about making sure that the children rest properly. We talked about making sure that they are avoiding foods that they really shouldn't be having, like sugary drinks, sugary snacks, those kinds of things that might make them a little hyper and give them a false sense of energy. We've also talked about school buses, the proper and appropriate behavior on school buses, the cafeteria, media center, so on and so forth. So we've really talked a lot about success. And also, we had on one of our guests that actually talked to us about parenting, the parenting component, and how very important it is to be sure that the parents play a very significant role with the school. And, you know, we always say that certainly it is so important to make sure that the school and the home have an actual connection. So that's really, really important to make sure of that, because then that certainly, those are certainly wonderful, wonderful ingredients, if you will, to having a successful school year. And so, none the least, we're still going to talk a little bit more this evening as we conclude. As I said, we have two wonderful and special guests coming up. And our first guest, as a matter of fact, he is an 11-year-old filmmaker, entrepreneur, and future pilot. His name is Joshua Chapman. In fact, he's a sixth grade honor student at Capital City Seventh-day Adventist School in Indianapolis. He's the son of Brian Chapman and Kimra Allen. What I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to just read some of his bio so you can have more of an idea of who he is. He enjoys helping people young and old. Josh enjoys flying different aircraft on his flight simulator. And, listen to this, this summer, Josh flew a single-engine Piper 235 at 4,000 feet and 120 knots. The pilot was so impressed with his command of the aircraft and controls. And Joshua's career aspiration is to become a commercial pilot. Now, this summer, Joshua entered the Indiana Black Expo International Film Competition. Both adult and young contestants were required to produce a short film on the trending social justice topic, Your Life Matters. And, of course, after much hard work, planning, video takes, and learning new video software, and editing his own film, Joshua's film won in the youth division. His film was shown at the Tobias Theater at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. He was awarded a GoPro camera to promote his amateur filmmaking. Josh has two businesses, a lawn service, and aluminum can collecting business. Joshua believes he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He enjoys writing, basketball, camping, and bowling. He attends, again, the Capital City Seventh-day Adventist Church, where he is a junior deacon and a camera operator. Joshua, how are you?
I'm doing good, Cousin Donna. How about yourself?
I am doing well. Wow, with a bio like that. Okay, let me confirm. You're only 11 years old?
Yes, I am only 11 years old.
Wow, wow. Well, you know what? Let's begin, Joshua, by talking about your film. Now, of course, as I said, the topic for the contest was Your Life Matters, which is presently a trending topic. Now, when you heard about this particular contest, what made you want to participate?
Do you mind rephrasing the question one more time?
Certainly. When you heard about this contest, why did you want to participate? you know, why you wanted to participate. You thought it would be just a great idea to talk about your life matters, had you been maybe following the news maybe and hearing about people saying that lives matter.
Right.
What do you think?
So the reason why I wanted to participate, yeah, like you said, I have been following the news about all the stealings and crimes and robberies, rapings. And my interest was at film at that time, and I tried to write a script for a movie that I wanted to write called White House Attack. So I told my dad about it, and he went out trying to find a project, and he came up on the Indiana Black Expo's Youth Telecommunications Program. And the director of that, Dr. Leon Jackson, told him that I was underage. So Dr. Leon Jackson referred my dad over to Indiana Black Expo's International Film Competition. So he told me about it, and then we got to work.
Wow. Wow. Now, of course, I viewed the film, and it is an excellent film, audience. In fact, I will certainly would recommend that you go and take a look at the film. It is posted on our site. When you have an opportunity, please do that. It's only 7 minutes. But I tell you, it was a great film. I noticed that you interviewed both young and old, okay, from different areas. And they also had various answers about why their lives matter. And so, Joshua, can you tell me, how did you feel interviewing these people?
Well, I felt a little bit nervous. I felt a little bit notch in my stomach because I've never done this before. But it was something that I knew I was going to have to get over because it was something that I signed up to do. It was all in the process of signing up. And when I said, yes, I want to sign up for this and, you know, paid the money for it, then I was saying, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to do this to help my filmmaking.
Wow. Okay, so this was in your first film. Is that correct? This is the
first film.
Yeah, very good. Well, for those out there listening, kind of describe, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have thought about, wow, I would like to make a film, or you can be easily maybe at the movies or, you know, looking online and you see these different films and people probably think, wow, you know, I would like to make a film, but everyone that looks and thinks they may want to do it perhaps will not, because I'm sure it had to have been a lot of work. What was the filmmaking process like for you?
So the filmmaking process, like, for me, it was very, I can describe to you, it was very complicated. First I had to create the questions and get my interviewees together, get my camera crew, get all my equipment together to get ready to be filmed. And
okay.
I had to go on location where we were going to film at, okay, and the location where I filmed at was my friend Clinton's house, my school, and a guy all the way in out of the city in Greenfield, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And so also after we had all of our footage, we loaded it up into a program of a software called Wondershare Filmora, and you did have to have some experience with the video software. So after that, we had many hurdles with Wondershare Filmora. I can recommend it to just about anybody. After we were done editing the film, we had to somehow get it to export. We didn't know that there was an export button on Wondershare Filmora all along until I was, you know, playing around with it, trying to get everything together, like trying to find the export button. I saw the export button, and I pushed it, and it said exporting. So after I exported, I told my dad, and he was so happy. But then after one thing leads to another. After that, we had the watermark in the film, and we were just like, well, let's submit it in. It's too late to change anything up. So after we did that, 3 weeks later, they told us to give that. They gave us back the film and told us to take the watermark out of it. So we use Vegas Pro Studio. We use Vegas Pro Studio 10, and that allowed us to get the watermark out, and we accomplished our video.
Wow. Wow, that is great. So what did you learn pretty much from this experience? This is your first time, and, of course, you know, you overcame the hurdles and challenges that you, you know, didn't know about before. But what was the main thing would you say that you learned from this?
Well, the main thing that I would say that I learned from this is that nothing ever comes easy. Being in front of the camera, interviewing people, asking questions, you know, creating the questions, it's all sounds like easy things, but it's better said than done. Once you actually do the things, you actually have to take time and construct your questions, especially for a trending topic like Your Life Matters. Okay, I had to construct the questions carefully, and I had some help from my dad to get a balanced perspective from different people on why your life matters.
Very good. And once again, I want to refer back to the film. You had younger students, you had retirees that were in the film as well. So you had a great spectrum of people. And they gave various answers, which was really, really good. Is this something that you think, Joshua, you'd like to do again?
Yes, I would love to do this again. I learned so much from the experience, being in front of the camera, creating the questions, meeting new people, asking the questions, creating my film, editing the film to the final form, being on site with different locations, and, of course, editing it and giving it to the Indiana Black Expo Film Competition.
And I think I said in your interview that you did win this competition in your division. Is that correct?
Yes, that is right. God bless me, and especially for my first time, it was, I think it was definitely, I'm not trying to brag on myself, and I don't want this to come over the wrong way, but because God blessed me, I was able to win the GoPro camera.
Wow.
And I was able to show my film to everyone.
Well, I think that is wonderful. I'm just going to take a moment and applaud you because, as you described, it certainly was not an easy task. And so from you making that commitment and then sticking to that commitment and seeing it through, you were successful in doing so. And I think we just jumped right in. If you would like to send us an email, you may do so at etiquetteladies@gmail.com, etiquetteladies@gmail.com. I have one I'm going to read here, Josh. It says, "Hi, Etiquette Lady. I also enjoyed listening to your program. I immediately shared the tips you and your guest gave last week about ways to become a successful student. I believe her name was Miss Shea. She mentioned children should go to bed earlier and avoid sugary snacks. When I applied these tips over the last week, I'm already seeing a difference. Also, my son, who is 13, would like to become a pilot. How old was your guest when he became interested in being a pilot? Can he share some of his tips about where to begin for my son? Thanks. This comes from Marley in Baltimore." And actually, so she heard that in your bio, but that is exactly where I plan to go next, Joshua, and to speak with you just, you know, for a few moments about your flying experience. So how did this come, you know, to be?
Well, I recommend starting when, first of all, the age where I became interested at flying was age 9. Okay, I saw a plane and I just got very obsessed. How does it fly? The main question that everyone has is that, how does it fly? How does it fly? How does it soar through the air? And, you know, I'm still looking for the answers to that question, but where I recommend starting at, what I recommend starting to do when you are interested in flying, I recommend that you go out and buy your own simulator. Microsoft Flight Simulator X is what I use for my main simulator. Okay, I recommend going out to Simviation. That's where you can download all the different planes. It's not an FAA-approved simulator, but it gives you the real feel of what it is like to be in the actual cockpit. You have different alarms going off, okay? Also the flight plan, you can file flight plans on the, also the flight plans, you can file flight plans on there, VFR, IFR, the different destinations. VFR stands for visual flight rules, which you would use in a propeller aircraft called a Cessna and all those aircraft, and to fly by visual contact. And IFR stands for instrument flight rules, which you use your instruments to navigate. Personally, IFR to me is easier than VFR, because VFR you have to look at around, it's more challenging. IFR, you can use your instruments to tell you what is going on. But the simulators, you know, they give you the real feel instead of being in the real cockpit and messing up. You can, there's a lot of settings that you can adjust on there, like crash settings, real world settings. So, you know, if you get a bird strike on takeoff, you know, you would automatically start all over at the runway. The simulator will reload. And if you're flying too low, it will tell you to pull up, like pull up, pull up. Don't think, pull up. Okay, and you have all your altimeter. So what I recommend doing before buying the simulator is looking up cockpits on YouTube, looking up cockpits, seeing how to tell the instrumentation. I recommend you look at Norwegian 737 project. Okay, they have the full scale cockpit, which you can look at on YouTube, and it takes you step by step, okay, on how to build an actual simulator and wind it up. And I hope that helps what your question is. I hope that answers your question.
Wow. Well, okay, audience, are you as confused as I am with what he just said? In case you are and you didn't catch all of that, our show is archived. You can be able to go back and listen to it again, like I'm going to do as well. And Joshua, you know what? I've always wanted to learn how to fly a helicopter. Since I was a little girl, I've just had this thing about I would really like to learn to fly a helicopter. So with the simulator, would that be good for me? I mean, I think if I can fly it using the simulator, I think I'd probably be pretty content with that. What do you think?
I strongly recommend getting a simulator, okay? A simulator, and they have helicopters on there which you can fly. And there are a lot of helicopters, too, and you can fly them to different scenery. And they have different cockpits. I recommend going out to Amazon.com and getting a joystick from Logitech, okay? It's only $30 the last time I saw, $30, and it's USB, plugs into your computer, and allows you to have full control of the aircraft. Now, if you really want the ultimate flight experience, I recommend getting the SciTech Pro Flight Yoke, which is now $400, which you can use. It gives you the actual yoke feel and the actual thrust feel and the actual aircraft. And a real aircraft.
Wow, thank you for that advice. Here, in case you guys are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking to Joshua Chapman, filmmaker and pilot. I have another email I'd like to read, Joshua. Hello, Etiquette Lady and Joshua. Thanks for sharing the video. My family and I listen to your show every week. I'm 12 years old and would like to know how long it took for Josh to make the video, and did he do the editing himself? I'm interested in becoming a filmmaker, and any tips he could give me would be great. My name is Darius. Can you tell me what program you use? And this probably came through, Joshua, actually before you, because you actually went over the information, I believe, already, as we began talking about that. So I believe you did go over that. Is there anything else you'd like to, any other advice you'd like to give Darius?
All right. So I want to first say hello, Darius, if I got the name correct. Hello, Darius. I'm Joshua Chapman, as you may have heard just now. But what I recommend doing is going out and getting a little camera, okay, and start producing little films on your own. And I recommend, like, and you can use a cell phone camera too. Upload it to the computer. I recommend downloading a free software called Wondershare Filmora. It's a free video editor. That's what I use to edit my video. It looks, you know, so good on the big screen, especially. So you can, you know, export it to the video. You can export it to a DVD. You can render it, and you can make your adjustments too, all right there in that one program for free. And what I recommend doing is that if you're really, you know, interested in going out, you know, what I sometimes do when I'm interested, I sometimes go out and see the film salary, how much I would get paid, you know, doing that, and decide, hey, is this a job that I would want to do in the future, and then decide to keep on going on with that job. And
wow.
Volunteering at churches as camera operator. So if you see, you know, any cameras that need operating and you're at an event or something, ask permission from your parents and then ask those in charge of the cameras and ask them if you can do film operating, and they'll tell you the basics of the camera.
Well, Joshua,
I hope that helps.
Thank you so much. I'm sure that does help. And I see why you are an honor student, and I know that you will certainly fulfill all the dreams that you have as being a filmmaker as well as a pilot. And I thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with my What is Etiquette Anyway family. I know that your parents and family is proud of you. I'm very proud of you. And I want to recommend one more time, audience, to take a look at Joshua's film. It's only 7 minutes long, and just see what he was explaining as far as he was interviewing just a variety of different people about why it is important that your life matters. And I noticed at the end of this film, I believe you said that when you meet someone, tell them that their life matters. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And the two verses that I used for the video was Jeremiah 29:11 and John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," which means his one, not two out of three, not one out of four, not four out of eight, his only begotten son, and that whosoever believes in him will not die. And which lets us know that your life matters. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and prosper, to prosper for good and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Okay? While Jesus was on earth, he wanted people to know that their life mattered. What he did was he did earthly ministries. He healed, that showed us that our life mattered. Okay? He healed the sick, fed the poor, let the blind man see, helped the dumb to talk, raised the dead to life, helped the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda and helped the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda and helped the woman with the issue of blood. All this tells us that your life matters.
Joshua, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. And much success to you in the future, and continue to be blessed. We are going to applaud you once again. And again, thank you. And
hey, Ms. Donna.
Yes.
Before you apply, do you mind if I can say something else about my video?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, and then we're going to go to a break, okay?
Okay, well, I have a special thank you to give out. I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Leon Jackson, the director of the youth programs for the Indiana Black Expo, and Diane Foreman, who was the film coordinator for Indiana Black Expo film competition. I would want to especially recognize Ms. Doris Harris, one of my interviewees who recently passed since I made the film. Lastly, I want to thank you, Ms. Downer, for the opportunity to be on your show.
Thank you very much. You are so welcome. It's been a pleasure. And, of course, this is an etiquette show, so you showing your gratitude was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing, okay? And
okay.
As I said,
you're welcome.
Continued success and continue to be blessed. We're very proud of you, okay? You're welcome. We'll certainly be in touch. All right.
Okay.
Thanks again. All right. Good night. And we will
be right back.
Have you signed up for the Public Speaking Club yet?
Public Speaking Club? What's that?
It's the club Miss Riley teaches. You learn to speak comfortably in front of others, how to make introductions, how to introduce your parent to a friend, meetings, greetings. In fact, you learn numerous public speaking tips. Some of my favorite topics include impromptu speaking, how to have great posture and poise, and a lot more. And you learn how to have great social skills, all while gaining more self-esteem and confidence. It's so much fun.
As a parent, I know that academic skills coupled with social skills help make a child well-rounded. That's why I enrolled my children. They volunteer to speak at every opportunity. Their teachers brag on them all the time.
Wow. Oh, I'm too short to raise my hand in class, and I hope the teacher doesn't call on me. I want to join this public speaking club. I'll ask my mom.
Say goodbye to being shy. Sign up today for the Public Speaking Club at www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, the website is www.pagesetiquette.com. Hurry, avoid the waiting list. This club fills up quickly. www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us at 347-324-3295. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and if you've listened to this show for any length of time, especially during back-to-school time, you've certainly heard our next guest, Dr. Tom Keating. And, of course, for over 20 years, he's attempted to make sure bathrooms in schools around the country are in better condition. May I welcome back Dr. Tom. How are you?
Hi, Ms. Etiquette, Donna, my friend. It's great to see you. I just finished my 75th birthday on Tuesday, so to be on your show is a special treat.
Well, happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. So for those few people that may not have heard Tom speak, Tom, can you just tell them a little bit about yourself? Do you mind?
Well, I've been an educator in Georgia and other parts of the country for 45 years. I've taught in classrooms. I've taught in colleges. I've been a board member and a lobbyist, self-employed as an educator. And for the last 22 years, I've been working to improve the safety, cleanliness, and hygiene of restrooms that students use, mainly schools, but students also go to libraries, parks, recreation, swimming pools, and transportation systems. So at this point, I've been known as the toilet guy, the educational advocate for improving restrooms for students. And I guess after those years, I'm probably the most experienced person, educational advocate now in the country doing that.
Absolutely. And so just to get a quick update, I know you're going to talk about this evening you're going to be talking about some wellness policies. But just as a quick update, because I know you and I made plenty of visits to different schools as well, just kind of looking at the condition of the bathroom. So can you give us maybe a two-minute update? Have you seen some of them improve? If you've been, to some of them recently during the school year, just kind of give us a quick insight, and then we're going to talk about wellness.
Well, I'll mention the upper grades, fourth and fifth, middle school and high school, and the younger grades, kids are pretty good. They're disciplined by their teacher. They're taken to restrooms as a group. But the difference begins with the upper grades, fourth and fifth. It begins when the youngsters get into middle school and with their body and hormone changes. Also, their attitude changes, and they start sometimes looking at things. And if they get frustrated, they may take it out on things in this space, because this is the only space in the school where they aren't really watched. They have to be self-disciplined. And so what I have begun to learn is that if students learn how to discipline themselves in a cafeteria, put their trays up, don't throw food, don't leave food, and are good in the manner and etiquette and manners that you teach so well, they can extend some of those habits to restrooms. If not, they'll tear up the soap box, or they'll throw toilet paper on the floor, towels on the floor, think it's the janitor's job to pick up. They'll write words on the wall that aren't very nice. And then when you talk to them, they're not used to putting together something that I call sanitation and citizenship. So I've actually taken the project that I've been working on for 22 years, Donna, and I broadened it. So I've started something called the Center for Sanitation and Citizenship. And it's broader than just rules and etiquette and behavior. It's looking at ways that we really can talk again about citizenship, even in the area that tends to be taboo, which is restrooms. Overall, I'd say that most of the restrooms that are that I'm under contract now, or the places I've been in other countries or I've read about, I was listening to your wonderful first guest and doing some work online with some of the conditions of Flint, Michigan, which we've heard about. I'd say, unfortunately, the restrooms are still a score of about 2. So if you say, well, how would you rank restrooms? 1 would be nasty, 2 would be a little bit better, 3 would be a little bit better, and 4 would be nice. But average-wise, most of the restrooms, particularly middle and high school restrooms, are a 2 and need much improvement.
Wow. Okay. Well, tell us about the district wellness policies. What's going on with those?
Well, if you're a parent and you're used to helping out at home and maybe helping out with some schools that are labeled Title I, and maybe someday we ought to talk about that label again, since there have been some new legislation and changes, or you're in a school that's called a magnet, or it's a charter, or it's an opportunity school district, which we're talking about in Georgia, whatever kind of school you're in, very few people start by saying, are the restrooms nice or nasty? They talk about test scores or teachers or the curriculum or sports. So I start with the most basic thing. Basically, everybody poops. So it's important to say, how can we have the wellness of a child that is very comprehensive? And it really only comes down to 3 things. You want the child to eat better, have good food, and you want the child to exercise. And if the child eats better and exercises, the taboo part is we want them to be well, but they can't be well unless they can use the restroom, wash their hands before lunch, go to the bathroom after lunch before they go to history class or algebra. So I've said to myself, because the federal government has required every school that feeds children to have a wellness policy, what would they be like if they included improving the restrooms, improving the fact that the children have to use this bodily function? And what's happened in my looking into this since 2004 is that most schools look at wellness and they say, eat better, have more broccoli, exercise more. Even the president's wife, Ms. Obama, Michelle Obama, has a program called Let's Move, and it's really great. She wants kids to have a garden, farm to school, and those things, and exercise. But she doesn't talk about bathrooms. She doesn't talk about the things you and I know from the projects we've done in metropolitan Atlanta or the work I've done for 22 years now. So even she is thinking about it as a two-legged stilt, eating better, exercising more. I want people to think about wellness as a three-legged stool, eating better, exercising more, eliminating properly. So it's a third E. But what does it mean, a wellness policy? Well, it means if you go to your school district and you go online and you look at the policy book, bunch of words, there's one of them dealing with wellness. And if you read it, some of it has now changed because the federal government has passed the law twice and expanded it the second time. But just since August of this year, 2016, they now have passed some rules that have to be followed. For example, if you said to yourself in your school district, well, who would I talk to if I said we had too many obese kids and we wanted to have better food or fewer snacks that were junk snacks? Who is that person? Well, the districts now have to identify that person. It's part of federal law. And they have 8 different groups that can be involved, that have to be involved in understanding and reviewing certain aspects of wellness. In other words, those 8 groups, including parents and students and the public, have to look into the development, the implementation, the review, and the update of wellness policies. Well, you know as well as I do that if we had a discussion, Donna, of whether we should spank children, because remember, children were spanked in schools. And when I came to Georgia, we had to give our school district permission for them to be able to spank, or we got to withhold that permission. It was a policy. Well, policies are the laws that govern the school. What kind of uniforms, if any, what time they have to get up. All kind of laws are much closer and more important than all the stuff that's going on federally or nationally or internationally, because they affect our children. So wellness says you have to allow parents to get involved with the discussion and implementation of a wellness policy. You have to let students involve. Well, if you and I went up, just to conclude, and we took a high school of 1,000 kids, call it Martin Luther King High School, there are lots of them around the country, and you said to 1,000 high school kids, how's the food? Well, they would tell you. If you said, how are the bathrooms? Since 40 out of 100 of the high school kids in an average school dealing with bathrooms don't even use the bathrooms, they would tell you by the absence of their participation. The reason they don't flush the toilet, they don't even go into the bathroom. They hold it till they get home. So what I've discovered is that wellness is the umbrella for improving many things, and more importantly in my work, for improving school restrooms. It's the best thing that's happened in the last 10 years. If I could just get school districts and parents and people like yourself to talk about it and see how you add this third E, eat better, exercise more, and eliminate properly.
Absolutely. That is just great information. I want to, and we're going to go to the phone too. I think we have some callers. Here is an email. It says, Dr. Tom, I'm glad you're on this show, and I've listened to you over the years on Etiquette Ladies Show. Thank you for being instrumental in the restrooms changing at our middle school. Many parents and myself followed directions you gave a couple of years ago on this show. We've shared your info with other parents at different schools. Thanks for your continuous work, and thanks, Etiquette Lady, for the wonderful topics you address. This comes from M. Myers in Marietta, Georgia. Thank you for sending that. So, Tom.
That's very, very nice. And before the end of the show, maybe we can give the webpage and the email and the phone number again. But that's very nice of the parent from Marietta. And, of course, we live in Georgia. We know some big issues coming up in November. But we know that practically at schools, parents like that make the difference, and it sounds like we had some useful things to help her with.
Absolutely. And in case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway?, the talk show. We're concluding our back-to-school etiquette series. We're now speaking with Dr. Tom Keating, and we're talking about, if you hear us talking about restrooms, and in case you just turned on the show and said, what are they talking about restrooms? Well, he's been very instrumental in trying to get some of the public school bathrooms changed and to make sure that they're in good condition. So parents, you're probably thinking, oh, I've never even thought about, you know, restrooms or asking my children about, you know, what the bathroom is like. Well, we want you to go ahead and ask that question and find out. And if your child
Sure. If I might, let me pose the way I would ask a child the question. You and I have children, and by the way, now, Don, I have two grandchildren, and so that's a blessing because they're teaching me again. But, you know, if you ask a second or third grader how is school, a lot of them say fine, and they go upstairs and they look at their electronic machine and so forth. But if you say, if you say to a child in middle school, are you still studying nouns with Miss Smith, or are you studying such and such a piece of literature? Then the child says, well, how did you know what I was doing? And here's what I would say about bathrooms. Don't say how or bathrooms. Say the following. When you used restrooms today, did you have tissue, soap, and towels? And the average middle and high school kid is going to say, I don't want to talk about it. So let it go for a day, and the next day ask the same question. When you used restrooms today, did you have tissue, that's critical, soap, that's for hand washing, and towels? And if the child says, I don't even go to the bathroom, then you have the issue. That child is the problem because the child is not being healthy with her own or his own body. And on my webpage, there's a video that a doctor did about this whole question of early potty training and lousy school bathroom rules and how to help. And all those things that are on the webpage that the Marietta guest talked about are available free, and I will consult with folks for 15 minutes gratis or free. And so all the materials after 22 years that they want to use with the PTA, with the principal, with the custodians, with the kids, they're all up on the webpage. They're sitting right there waiting for you. Or if you call me, I'll help you too.
Wow, great. Thank you for that. We're going to go to the phone. Let's see. Extension 8427. Hello, extension 8427. Hello. Thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway? Okay, they may be just listening. Okay, extension 2163. 2163, thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway? Hello? Okay, they may just be listening via phone as well, which is perfectly fine. And so, Tom, that was great to ask specific questions. And, of course, we'll already know that if the child is coming straight home and running straight to the restroom, then we pretty much have that question answered ourselves as well.
Don't we?
Because I remember my son did that. I can recall he came straight home, ran straight to the restroom. And
but you see, many parents, they might go in and visit a school, and they might go into the restroom with their daughter, if it's a mother. But that mother's not in the boy's locker room if she has a son. And school people, school administrators, we often clean up the front two restrooms because we know parents and administrators and guests use them. But if you go in the back hallways of schools, or you go into restrooms and locker rooms, or you think about all these things with MRSA and other kind of bacterial issues that we're all trying to deal with, or you think about lead poisoning with water and restrooms and water and the flow of water is in Flint, or you think about conditions that have now been damaged because of Hurricane Matthew and what those schools are going to be like tomorrow morning and the bathrooms, please. Those are not issues that get done by just watching pro football. You have to really get involved.
Great information, as always. Great information. So, parents, I challenge you to find out what the condition of the restrooms are in your school and certainly go in to the schools and throughout the school visit the different hallways where the different restrooms are, just to take a look. And I know, Tom, I can remember years ago we were in one school and to find out that there was no tissue and the students had to actually go to the principal's office. Was that correct? Am I remembering that
correctly?
That's
correct.
In order to
We also know that when economics get hard, we have no money. I remember when Detroit was telling school parents that they had to send in the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people ration out both toilet paper, and some schools only let kids go to the restroom so many times during a semester outside of when they have the regular time. Because kids sometimes abuse their time when they're in the restroom. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
But that gets us back to the sanitation and citizenship. We don't even teach civic education anymore, and I think we should. One bit of good news that I'll mention to you, the county of DeKalb, Georgia, the county, not the county schools, but the county itself, has passed a new ordinance that says, new law, says that no bathrooms in public places or the county offices or businesses can be in bad repair. And if they are, you get to call, and if they don't do anything about it, you can call the code enforcement, and they can be fined. In addition, it says that the Board of Health will come into the schools and inspect the two restrooms closest to the cafeteria. Now, think about that. The cafeteria is the restaurant for the students, and the students are the patrons of a restaurant. And if you and I went to Cafe Lily in downtown Decatur or to a McDonald's or to a Chick-fil-A, we would want to get ready for eating by going into a restroom. We would want to use the restroom if we needed to before we left. And so the same thing is true with the school. But if you walk into that school restroom and the sink is off the wall and the graffiti words are all bad, that student who's a nice person isn't going to go in there. So once again, if you look at not only the conditions, as you said, but look at the policy, that is the laws that govern this, which are wellness in my mind, and you talk about bathrooms, which can be done by reading a lot of things on the webpage, then you basically will be able to improve not only the behavior, but the attitude that underlies it and the policy, the laws that implement it.
And I know I've been in several schools talking about teaching portions of the school etiquette workshops and telling the children you cannot, going back to tissue because that's such an issue, you cannot flush rolls of tissue down the toilet. It won't work. And I know that's why some of the schools have pulled them out because of things of that nature, just students taking and dropping the entire roll down, you know, into the toilet, and that it doesn't work, and it's wasteful. So, you know, I can understand the flip side of that, too. So with the citizenship part, meaning everybody is responsible for making sure that they are good citizens and they do possess good etiquette and try to take care of things so that everyone would be able to have, you know, a nice experience, a pleasant experience, if you will. And, of course, you know, I know we've talked about it before on the show about oftentimes when children may be acting out, especially the younger children, they're acting out. They may not be hyperactive or ADHD. They may just have to use the restroom, and they don't want to go because of the condition of the bathroom.
It's all interconnected, and it's connected with learning, and it's connected with a function that everyone has to do. Not everybody is going to play football or play in the band, but everybody has to urinate and eliminate. And everybody should be well. We don't need more obese or fat children. We don't need more sugar. And as you mentioned earlier, we don't need more junk food. And so one of the things that I'm learning, and I've been sick since I last talked to you, and I had some health issues and I've recovered from them. But part of it is I've got to look at my own eating habits, and we all do, and my own exercise habits, and my own bodily function habits. And so I don't understand why we can talk about sex education to sixth graders, but we can't talk about their responsibility of flushing a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use wellness as the umbrella for doing this. And if anybody wants, if I can be of any help, if it's appropriate, Donna, since we're nearing the end, I'd like to offer the webpage and the email address if I can.
Absolutely. Go ahead and do that.
Well, the email address is my name, Keating. It's like eating with a K in front of it. K-E-A-T-I-N-G dot, one word now, Project Clean, P-R-O-J-E-C-T-C-L-E-A-N, at gmail.com. And that gets the email address. The webpage is www.projectclean.us. And on that webpage, there is a link called Publications, and there's a link called Video, and there's just tons of stuff there. And my phone number is 404-694-2905, and I would be honored if any of those people who weren't on the extension, maybe were just listening, or you have any other emails or contacts, Donna, send them to me, and I'll follow up and be as helpful as I can.
Absolutely. And so nice to speak with you again. I'm glad you're doing better. Congratulations on your second grandchild, a male or female?
We have a daughter, a granddaughter now. Her name is Holland. She's walking like a little bunny rabbit. And our grandson Hudson is 4 on Thursday. And he's wondering what happened to the room that was only his. So the two of them are just delightful. We're very blessed.
Wow. Well, congratulations again. I'm glad you're feeling better. And as always, you always have wonderful information, and we will certainly be in contact soon, okay?
Thanks again. And if I can be of any help again or talk about some other topics, dealing with restrooms in public or some of these new ordinances, Donna, thanks for your leadership. Etiquette, I miss you, and I look forward to being of any help I can. Take care.
Absolutely. Thank you. You too as well. I'm going to go over one last message we have. It says, Dear Ms. Donna, thank you for the variety of topics you cover on your show. This is a show like no other. Every topic revolves around etiquette. What is your opinion regarding the upcoming election and candidates? Will you address this on one of your upcoming shows? I believe you covered this topic on one of your prior shows years ago. I hope you do this time also. Thanks again. This comes from Dr. Menace in Boston, Massachusetts, and absolutely I will be covering this over the next couple of weeks. It is very interesting, to say the least, but we're going to talk about this as it relates to etiquette and the candidates and how, you know, their behavior has been. Won't do it now, but absolutely. Please keep listening. I certainly will cover that. Can't wait, in fact. Well, thanks again, you guys, for taking time out of your Sunday evening to listen. Two great guests this evening. I'd like to just say kudos to both of them, both Joshua and Dr. Tom. I appreciate you both. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence this evening. And thanks, everyone, for supporting our show, listening, everyone who called in, emailed, sent us messages, those joining us for the first time, and, of course, our loyal listeners as well. And, of course, we know we do have loyal listeners that tune in each week. We're so glad that you are a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have a topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, be sure to let us know, as Dr. Menace just did just a few moments ago. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show as well, okay? After all, we know that the reason that we do our show, our goal actually, is to make the world a polite place to live. And we know we can only do that one person at a time. And, of course, with your help. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That's one of my favorite proverbs. It comes from Proverbs 3:3. And we always remind you each week to initiate an act of kindness this week. If you wouldn't mind doing that. In fact, you could probably do it every day, okay? Thanks again, though, for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. Take care. Good night. And God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we'll discuss another exciting topic.